ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am your host and excited to be here today. Glad you're here with us. Going to have a great conversation today. I'm going to be diving into chapter 13 of my book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. And we're going to be looking at the chapter that talks about cultivating the unique spark within you. And this is really significant to me because this idea of the unique spark speaks to me about how we are each here individually for a specific reason or purpose. And that while that reason and purpose may be collective, this is what we're here for. This meaning, this body, this experience, this coming forward into the world is really the uniqueness that we bring, the energy that we bring to this experience. And so I want to get into this chapter. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. But before we do, I want to first thank you for being here and ask you to please, depending on where you're watching, if you're on YouTube Live, please hit the subscribe button, hit the reminder button so that you get notified when we have our shows. We're on twice a week, and the library is there, over almost 200 episodes. Love to have you check it out. If you're on Facebook, if you're on Facebook and you're on Adventures in Truth Facebook page, you can actually interact with the show or anywhere you see the live feed. I share that all over in groups and all over Facebook. So wherever you see the live feed, you can be watching. But also I'd love for you to subscribe and to like and comment. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear from you about the content. Love to hear from you, your experience of what we're talking about in any given day. We're here on Wednesday mornings and Friday afternoons. So that I cover everything. And then, of course, my website, adventuresintruth.com. Go there right at the top of the page. You'll see that we are live on the website. That's also cool. And you can also, while you're there, you can listen to any of the podcasts in the history in the player that's on my website. So thank you for being here. I'm excited. We're going to have a great show. And we're going to dive in right after this break. All right, before we get into the book, My World is Good, we're going to start with this since we're focusing in the book today. Again, the year of conscious creation. Can you believe it is October? We have been 10 months into this movement, and boy, what an incredible difference the world seems to be going through and how I seem to be experiencing it. And that's really what this is about. Here we are, 7.5 billion unique worlds inhabiting this planet called Earth. And the reason that I say that there were 7.5 billion unique worlds is because your world is yours. Whatever your perceptions are, whatever your beliefs are, whatever your ideas are, while we share commonality, ultimately you are creating your reality. And so you are doing that. No one can do it for you. No one can live your life for you but you. So in this process of this incredible movement, the idea is to bring this neutral positive energy into all of our energies. Bring it in and just expand it. My world is good. 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 And doing this 10 times when you wake and 10 times when you at the end of your day, and then utilize it throughout the day because it's a moment that you can take to focus your energy into appreciation. Fill into that space, because what's happening as you're doing this is you're myelinating new pathways in the brain. You are creating a new reality simply by engaging in this process. And every time you do, it builds and expands and grows more and stronger. And then as we each come together in this incredible movement, the energy expands exponentially. And what's the goodness of all that? Well, the goodness of that is that we get to see that goodness unfolding in the world around us. Because remember, our perception is simply the reflection of our thoughts, ideas, and emotions reflected back to us. It's a feedback loop, right? It's a feedback loop. So if you're not seeing goodness, if you're not experiencing goodness, jump on this amazing experience with this movement and begin to build that in your own world. Build that experience of tapping into the goodness, getting into that appreciation for all the good things that are in your world and focusing into that and expanding that energy and creating more of it. My world is good. Check it out. It doesn't require anything to join us except your energy, attention, and intention. And I appreciate that you're here and doing it. And I can feel you out there. I feel it. I feel it growing every single day. It grows in my life every single day. I use it consistently. I encourage you, share it with your friends. If you see the My World is Good stuff around, share it. Tell people about it. Share your experiences of it. Thank you in advance. I appreciate you. Appreciate you being here. And we'll be back right after this. If I can find my buttons. You know me and my buttons. All right, here we are today, fearsofchoicebook.com. I started with a commercial. As we dive into the book, we're going to get into chapter 13 here, cultivating the unique spark that is you. But I want to celebrate because my book was released a year ago, and you guys have been incredible. I can't tell you how much I appreciate how many of you bought the book. They continue to buy the book. I'm excited by the things that I'm hearing from you about what you're learning for yourself. That's the whole purpose of the book. It's to tap into your inner experience. This book is powerful. It goes in deep, and it helps you to reflect on your own experience in the course of reading through it. So you are enrolled into the process of diving deep into your own experience and bringing that forward so that you can understand how to change your relationship with fear. And that's what this is all about. I can't thank you enough for the reviews, for the orders, and I ask you to continue to share it. If you've ordered it and haven't reviewed, please leave your review wherever you've ordered it. You can go to fearsofchoicebook.com. There we have all of the links to Barnes & Noble and IndieBound. I know there's another one that I can't remember right now. But you can choose those links. You can see the reviews. You can watch the videos. And you can reach out to me if you'd like. If you have questions or comments about the book, I'd love to hear them. But being a published author and a year later, I'm kind of blown away and overwhelmed by it all. But in the end, it's amazing. It's incredible. And because of your support, because of all of you out there who are participating in this, it's extraordinary. And I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate it. So get your copy if you don't have one, www.fearisachoicebook.com. Great gift for the holidays. Anyone who can shift or is ready or prepared to shift their relationship with fear, this book will change your life. Check it out, www.fearisachoicebook.com. All right, going to come back on the break and start off in big time. We'll be right back. Whoops. Here we go. And we're going. All right, here we go. Cultivating the unique spark that is you. Chapter 13 of my amazing book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion. Thank you for being here. Again, if you are on Facebook and want a question or comment, please do go to Adventures in Truth Facebook page. And there, when you type into the live thing, it'll come here into the studio and I'll be able to respond to you and all that good stuff. So let's dive right in. Chapter 13, chapter 13 is, let me go back here so I can remember. So chapter 13 is part of chapter three, or part of part three of the book, Living in Liberation from Fear. So chapter 13, Cultivating the Unique Spark That Is You. Imagine what our human experience would be like if we embrace our spark, that aspect of each of us that is God. What if instead of moving through a treadmill of human experience with no clarity of purpose, other than to go through the predetermined stages of childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, adulthood, middle age, etc., we recognize that each individual spark is here to evolve in its own unique expression and understanding of itself? And what if we spent the majority of our time and energy cultivating that unique spark? Perhaps the best way to even consider such an inspired endeavor is to understand why most of us don't currently spend the bulk of our existence. focused in this, which is twofold. First, we tend to exist detached and separate from the inner core of our being. In other words, we live in a world believing we are separate from that which we are created, or God, Source, etc. Think about that for a minute. This is akin to, as a parent, believing that your own child are not worthy and are separate from you and therefore have to strive their entire lives for your love and connection. Can you see the flaw in the logic of this thinking? Would you expect your child to have to earn your love, or would you consistently assert their separateness from you, as if you had nothing to do with their creation? Of course not. It's the same with our divine creator. And then secondly, the reality of our spark is not entertained because science says it is not yet provable, that they cannot test for it or verify it. What? Our very existence is the proof. How can we witness the evolution of a logic-defying physical body that performs untold functions on our behalf every second of every day, yet not be willing to embrace the spark that animates us? And so that's the beginning of our chapter 13. Powerful stuff, guys. And we're going to take a moment to focus here, because I want us now, as we zero into this, as we focus into this chapter and into this understanding of cultivating this unique spark, I like this being able to bring us together where two or more are gathered, you know, that whole concept. And so what I want you to do is just begin by breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. We're going to focus into meditation for just a moment. This is where the rubber meets the road for me, supporting and encouraging thus to step into this meditative process, this moment of quiet, getting connected to the breath. Okay, as we're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, settling into this moment, bringing your awareness fully and completely into the breath as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. Feel yourself sinking deeply into the heart, into the center of your chest, as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, focusing your awareness completely and deeply into the breath. And isn't it amazing that the focus, when you focus into the breath, you automatically focus into the heart. So as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, feel your energy, feel you, feel the experience of you and your energy. And as you're sitting in that deep space of breath and heart, become aware of the field that expands 360 degrees from this space in the center of your heart. Feel the field that emanates from you and reaches out into the world and goes on probably further than you can even see. That's how magnificent you are. That's how incredible you are. And what we tend to do is we tend to dumb down that brilliance by getting too focused in things that don't support our brilliance, by forgetting our uniqueness, by not dialing into the who we are and why we are, in through the nose and out through the mouth. and let that relax you as you relax into your field, as you relax into the experience of your energy, feeling it deeply, and just looking out across the vast expanse of the field that you carry and noticing how it interacts with so many things. You are a magnificent being. You are a unique spark of God here on this planet, to radiate and emanate that spark, to share that divine essence with this planet in its unique form that is called you, because you are absolutely unique in this world. So what you bring, who you are, how you share, how you love, how you engage is all significant and important, because your energy is necessary. That's why it's here. Your energy is contributing. That's why it's here, as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. Continue breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, and focusing all that awareness into your heart. And I want you to call that field that you're experiencing, call it into your heart space. Feel yourself commanding this field and bringing it into the center of your being. And as you do, feeling that warmth and tingling, feeling that aliveness coursing through you as that energy fills you. And I want you to allow that energy to explore the inside of you, to be connected to you, seeing that it is all you, to become aware of the magnificence of this physical vessel that has been created to support you being here in this time and space reality. This physical vessel that is so miraculous, that is filled with systems and processes and things that go on that we don't even know about, that we are not even conscious of, and yet it persists. This physical vessel that is imbued with life, that with every ounce of its being strives for life. And being in that body and getting connected to who you are in relation to this physical vessel, it's a support mechanism designed to bring out the best of you. Allow that experience as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. In through the nose and out through the mouth. And now let's refocus as you just honor, just appreciate, just be in love and appreciation for the magnificence of this physical body. And let us now focus into the breath as you are focused into the body. The breath is the life force. The breath is the prana, the chi, the significant energy, the moments of creation. Every minute, every moment of our lives, every breath is creation. As you inhale, you're taking in life force. You're taking in chi and prana, and it's going into the system and into the lungs and being distributed all throughout the body. Right? It's happening. And you don't have to flip a switch. You don't have to do anything but breathe. But when you breathe consciously, when you honor the energy that you are taking in and honor the energy you are releasing in the exhale, you are connecting the most deeply to your breath, to the life force that animates you. And as you become more accustomed to this, as you become more relaxed in managing your breath, you will become more powerful and more successful in managing your energy. So as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, feel deeply the richness of the breath and the life force that you bring in. Feel deeply the incredible energy that you are contributing consciously and unconsciously to the continued survival of this physical mechanism that is created to bring you into time and space. Feel that deeply. And now we're going to focus intently and specifically into the breath. And I want you to breathe in to a count of four. And as you do, breathe and fill completely. And as you fill completely, then rest at the top. And then we're going to sit in that full richness. We're going to sit in that amazing space for a moment. And then we're consciously choosing to surrender the breath, surrender the old energy, surrender what's to be left. And we breathe it out. We exhale it. We let it go. We surrender it in the moment. And you're going to do that to a count of six, purging all of that old energy and air out of the lungs and out of the system as you move into the next phase, which is to be in the void, be in not know, be in the absence of, while you are in anticipation, while you are in appreciation, while you allow for the next moment of creation to unfold, you engage the lungs and we carry on from there. So let's begin as you, again, inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth. Let's focus now into this counted breath as we inhale. 2, 3, 4. Feel that full, amazing feeling. Feel the richness of the fullness, relaxing the shoulders and the neck, and then releasing it, consciously choosing to surrender it now. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Beautiful, completely empty, completely void, staying in that space for just a moment, feeling it deeply, being prepared and anticipating the next moment as you engage the lungs and inhale. 2, 3, 4. Good, feeling that fullness, relaxing the whole upper body while you feel full, and then choosing to surrender it in this moment, releasing. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Beautiful. Sitting in that empty space, sitting in that void, just resting and appreciating the readiness for the next moment of creation as you inhale. 2, 3, 4. Pulling in all of that life force, feeling it penetrate every aspect of your being, and then choosing to surrender what no longer serves as we exhale. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we rest in the bottom, in the void, in the empty space, just being for this moment. And then consciously choosing to engage the next moment as you inhale. 2, 3, 4. Oh, feeling that radiant magnificence coursing through your entire being with that breath and aliveness. And then consciously choosing to surrender what no longer serves as we release. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Beautiful. Continue that rhythm on your own. Let that breath take over. Feel the magnificence. Feel the incredible power of your breath as you are focused consciously in it and into your energy as you experience the impact of this moment of creation in your body, in your experience, in your life. As you experience this moment of surrender in this moment in creation of your life. Every breath you walk through the process, every breath is a breath of creation. Every breath is a breath of surrender. Because as you breathe, you take in new energy. As you exhale, you surrender the old energy every single time. So being conscious of this is expanding you in ways that you may not even be aware of. And that's extraordinary as you continue the breath process, continuing to take it inhale and exhale, pausing between to relish those moments between creation and release, feeling it deeply and letting these words wash over you. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, I expand, and I engage. I am. Beautiful. Feel that powerful breath called forth. Feel that powerful alignment. And as you continue through the breath, as you relax into it even more, I want you to release your field now. You've been holding your energy in this heart space. It is now super impacted. It is super energized with all of this life force that you've brought to it. And it's sparkling and it's glittering and it's expanding. And just be aware of that expansion. As you release the energy out, it expands in 360 degrees, moving in all directions outside of you physically. This is all of you. This is the magnificence of you. Just relish and bathe in it as you continue to breathe. Feel it. Feel the love. Feel the connection. Feel you. Thank you. Beautiful job, y'all. And let's take this back. Bring yourself back into the space. Take your time. As we continue to read, let the words come over you. Let the words wash over you. Take it in as you do. as we continue this talk about cultivating a unique spark. And what we've talked about so far is that it's twofold how we, why we don't focus into this unique spark that is us. The first is believing in separation, that we are not that God, that we are not that source, that we do not have connection to that. The second is the scientific explanation of the not provability. So somehow our worth is not scientifically proven. So in the last chapter, we talked in depth about the power of creation, and we're going to do that chapter another time. That chapter is called Turning Thoughts into Things Through Imagination. I want to revisit that here because as humans, we often willingly and consciously deny the source of our own existence, failing to recognize that our own spark is what we seek to understand. We are the physical manifestation of creation. Let me read that again. We are the physical manifestation of creation. Why do we insist on dumbing down this extraordinary reality? The answer is plain and simple. Fear. Fear that we shouldn't equate ourselves with God as powerful creators, because we're largely been taught that we are inferior while God is superior and dislikes anyone who dares think otherwise. But as we discussed at length in Chapter 3, this is nothing more than the conditioning to keep you small and keep those quote unquote in power, or, you know, heads of organized religion, etc., looming large with unmerited authority. The truth is that we are on the precipice of a tremendous leap in consciousness. And with each spark exploring, reaching, learning, seeing, expanding ever forward to that incredible realization that I am God. Or if it's more comfortable for you, to be in complete oneness with God who resides within me. Each single consciousness has been given the opportunity to explore the furthest reaches of this time and space reality, seeking to understand and know itself fully and completely. Each spark is meant to unfold in experience, awareness, and clarity. What's even more extraordinary is that every level of this consciousness humans have evolved through is still present on the earth at this time. From prehistoric consciousness that seemed very limited, through all of the recorded consciousness shifts, mythical, rational, scientific, industrial, technical, transrational, going beyond or surpassing human reason. All of these levels of consciousness are still active on the planet right now. What's more, each one is able to interact and explore with the other. I know this is a mind-bending concept, so let's keep it simple by looking at it this way. We consider ourselves an advanced society, yet within that construct, we fail to realize that every single spark is contributing to our advanced evolution. We must reverse this thinking. In Chapter 8, I introduced you to contrast, which is our awareness of what we don't want. This contrast we create in any given lifetime is necessary to move the needle further and further along, meaning that with each passing millennium, we grow more aware, more curious, and more empowered to understand ourselves. And while it may sometimes seem like we're slipping backwards as a human race, that contrast we experience does indeed propel us forward, and in fact often ignites latent sparks just waiting for their moment to burst forth. I love the imagery of that because it speaks to ultimately that not only are we not alone, but we are co-creating here. And we have to show up within our own uniqueness, within our own unique spark, to be ultimately the best co-creators. We're co-creators regardless. And the reason that that's true is because wherever your vibration is, you will create and harmonize with that vibration, and you are creating within that vibration. But if you're doing that at a level or at a playing field, if you're harmonizing at a low frequency, then you're not creating, I think, what you want. Maybe you are, but in my experience, that's not where I want to be. As I continue to do my work and encourage you to do your work, there is untold experiences that continue to unfold that call me forth, that call me even more powerfully into this unique spark that is me, because it's giving me the opportunity to understand more deeply, to experience more profoundly, and to love more passionately and more unabashedly, I guess is a good word. So as we carry on, a few recent examples. Where did we leave off here? While it may sometimes seem like we're slipping backwards as a human race, that contrast we experience does indeed propel us forward, and in fact often ignites latent sparks just waiting for their moment to burst forth. A few recent examples of this come to mind are the murder of George Floyd, the 2020 March on Washington, and the experience our entire planet is undergoing, calling forth the greatness and genius in all of us. The most significant leaps in human experience have come from people who thought outside the box and used their imagination to see potentials and realities that were at the time not readily available to the senses. We collectively agree that these individuals are mavericks, that they are unique and special in the world. Yet the reality is this. The only reason we are all not mavericks is because we continue to drink the Kool-Aid, or rather, believe that we are not also unique and special, or that our imagination only gets us in trouble. How many times have you heard expressed an innovative idea you hatched in your imagination only to be told you're not being in reality, you're not being realistic? But, and this is vital, the only difference between you and being a maverick is your reluctance to break free from the social limitations you have accepted as real, but that are in fact nothing more than an illusion. Let's look at that one more time. How many times have you expressed an innovative idea you hatched in your imagination only to be told you're not being realistic? But this is vital. The only difference between you and being a maverick is your reluctance to break free from the social limitations you have accepted as real, but that are in fact nothing more than an illusion. So what we're saying here is understanding that we, and it goes into more depth at the beginning of the book when it talks in the first section about the evolution of fear and the human experience. But what this is referencing is understanding that this whole human experience is a bit contrived in a certain fashion, in that there have been constructs created and built for what it means to be human, which is completely or antithetical to the experience of who we are and why we're coming here to begin with. We decided we had to structure, we had to form, we had to put guardrails on the experience, we had to define our world, we had to ascribe meaning to everything. And so we created these illusory structures, and I'm not saying that they aren't useful in some regard, but what happens is that we have to undo the learning of those. And while the structure is great, maybe if we shifted the components of the structure to not playing in illusion, but playing in the reality of our energetic experience, that we might actually be developing in a more aligned way, instead of developing in the human capacity, going through all the stages and then waking up to those stages and going, what am I doing? This is not who I am. So we get the chance to step into that every time and in every situation of our lives, to be able to define that difference, to be able to understand where reality is and where illusion is. So there's absolutely no reason you can't and become an innovator. And like these great innovators, believe in your ability to imagine and then create a new reality. To do the work of building and maintaining your focus. That's really where the work is, right? It's to learn and understand this so that we can maximize the amount of positive love, flow, energy, whatever it is we bring to this experience, that we can maximize that experience in the co-creative process. You too can believe what you see in your imagination more powerfully than what is presented by your senses. Using your imagination, as you know from reading chapter 12, changes your state of being. It enables you to turn mere thoughts into something powerful and amazing. And it gives you superhuman ability to see beyond the problems that are typically presented by the five senses. It is within your imagination that your ability to think and perceive blossom. This is precisely why we are continually reminded in our earthly experience to manage our thoughts, because our thoughts become things, which brings us back to the very nature of God that each of us possesses. Desire focused with intention and then expressed, imagined, in the universe. Within the structure of time and space, many of us believe that creation is not simple and certainly not easy. In some regard, this is correct, but only because our social training and collective beliefs developed over the millennia of our human existence say it is so, and so we continue to believe it. But your divine spark is here to create something only you can. Don't let fear, entrenched in old, misguided beliefs, hold you back from expressing that spark. Whether you understand it consciously or not, you know at the core of your being that you are part of something greater. Take a moment and feel that. Whether you understand it consciously or not, you know at the core of your being that you are part of something greater. That you are a creator. That you are powerful. And that you are in oneness with God to cultivate that unique spark that is you. Have fun with it. Have fun with it. And that is chapter 13, talking again about the uniqueness that we all come from the spark of the divine. We are that, plain and simple. We are that. And what that is an incredible being that has the ability to experience on so many different levels all that this wonderful and magnificent world has to offer. And that if you keep yourself focused in lower vibration, you can still have a positive experience, but it'll be a very limited experience. Because you are not availing yourself to all that is here, you are limiting yourself to what's in the matrix, as it were, right? What's in the field of cultivated understanding. And as you step more deeply into your uniqueness, as you allow that to unfold, as you embrace the concept of it, you begin to open yourself up in ways that you never have before. And that is part of what causes your vibration to start to spin up. The curiosity, the interest, the knowing of something more and something greater stimulates that desire to expand. What is this? How can I experience it? How can I align to it? And so we begin to work with that and through that. But the core concept that's important to remember is that ultimately we are all this spark of the divine. Every time I see another human, I am seeing God and I am seeing me. That does not mean that I cut everything off or dumb things down. It means I expand because I recognize that all of the things that I experience and all the choices that I make and ideas that I have and concepts that I want to explore are all about helping me to grow and expand and to tap into more and more of the magnificence of this amazing world that we live in. Because as you do that, what happens? As you honor that unique spark, you begin to honor it in everything. So as you walk through nature, your love is emanating and reaching to the trees and the plants and the flowers and the birds and the sky and the air and the earth and everything around you. Remember the field you were experiencing earlier in the meditation? Imagine you're carrying this enormous, enormous energy of love, this orb of pure love illuminated by the light of loving kindness. You are carrying that through this world, and that everything you focus in that vibration is touched by you. But if your vibration is at a lower frequency, then they are being touched by that. Excuse me. And then you are creating circumstances to reinforce that energy. So you draw people and environments and jobs and relationships that support that lower frequency, because that's what you have been emanating. That's how it happens. You create that field and then it attracts. It brings more to you like it so that you can feel connected to this experience. The magic of it is that continues and expands exponentially as you tap into that spark, as you allow that spark to unfold. It's extraordinary. You have an extraordinary ability that maybe you didn't know you had, that maybe you're just learning about. the cool thing is that you can continue to unfold forever. The other side of that is that all of the entrainment that has occurred in the human experience gets in the way. And so we have to learn balance in that. Excuse me. We have to learn to balance that more efficiently. We have to learn how to recognize when our lower vibrational frequency that we cultivated for so long is impacting the vibration that we are attempting to create. And that's why we process. That's how we process, right? That's how we begin to see what's unfolding in our world. The cool thing is that you never lose anything. You may lose resistance. Well, I shouldn't say that. You may lose resistance. You may lose fight. You may lose attachments to a certain frequency, but that's all good. You haven't lost anything, actually. You've traded up. You've upgraded. So those feelings and things, those experiences become different, become, again, a different level of attraction. So if your vibration is raising and you are no longer at a lower frequency, as the frequency increases, things that resonate at that frequency are now available to your sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell, but also to your intuitive process, to your entire experience. So you have the ability, through cultivating this uniqueness, to expand these incredible, I don't know what you call them, I don't know if they're powers, but they're part of your personal power. They're part of the experience of human, but it's superhuman in some regard because you're tapping into experiences and things that you may not have ever felt or experienced before. And the joy of those experiences is profound. The awe in those experiences is remarkable because you're getting to touch and experience things in ways that you never knew were possible. And it's hard to put that into words because it's not fantastical, but it is magical. It's not woo-woo, and sometimes it's mind-blowingly awesome. I went out a week or so ago to do some peeping. If you're not familiar with peeping is what we do here in Colorado, and I'm sure other places around the world, but we call it peeping here, where you're out looking at leaves, leaf peeping. And it's going out and experiencing the changes of the seasons, which is absolutely breathtaking. But we went out and went to see the turning of the colors, and I didn't realize at the time, you know, I was excited to go. I love going and doing it, but I hadn't realized how much I hadn't fed myself in the previous couple of days with that experience. And when I got out there and we hit the first batch of just spectacular color, and there was greens and yellows and golds and little reds and oranges, and it was just, it's a feeling to me. I was saying this to my friend. It was like, it's extraordinary. You come around a corner and this experience just unfolds on you, and the joy of it and the love in it and the unbelievable experience of it is overwhelming. I'm brought to tears, and it's not the first time that it's happened. And it's remarkable because it's so spontaneous and so breathtaking and so incredible to have a moment of absolute appreciation, so profound that the tears run, the joy is overflowing, and all you can do is take it in. All you can do is just surrender because it's so magnificent. I encourage you all to seek that experience in your world. And that happens by cultivating that spark, and that cultivation process is through what you do on a daily basis, what you do on an hour-to-hour basis, how you engage your life, how you engage your experiences, how you view them. But that can all start simply and cleanly by finding time to get quiet, by focusing into the breath. Whether you do that on a walk, whether you do that in yoga, whether you like to sit and meditate, whether you're outside or inside, it doesn't matter. Just take the step to step into creating that change in your world. And the first part of that is learning how to quiet the training, the entrainment that has gone on in your life for however long you've been alive, right? You've been entrained since day one into this human experience, and it's been reinforced and reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. And then somewhere along the way on your path, you went, wait a second, something's not right here. Something is amiss. I'm missing. I need to understand more. I don't feel like I'm fully embracing who I am. I need more. I need to grasp more. And you start to reach for more. You start to desire more. And you begin to move into that in a very powerful way, seeking more expanded experiences. And what an incredible thing it is, because as you do that, at every juncture, the experiences are incredible. But as you continue to move down the path, they just get more incredible. They just get more amazing and more, more saturating of your entire being, because you begin to see this feedback loop that happens as you share your thought, as you have a thought and you send it out and it pings in the universe and comes back to you and gives you feedback about how you are being, how you are feeling, what you are experiencing. And so as you focus into cultivating this unique spark and building that love and building that extraordinary, see, the thing is, building the love is funny because we are love. We are that. But we say building it, I think, because we tend to restrict the flow. We dumb it down because of the entrainment process, right? Because of the attachment to fear, the relationship with fear, we dumb down the experience. But as we take away those chunks of shit that we accumulate around our beliefs about fear and our need for fear, we begin to release our energy into the love state that it is naturally, that it came into this world beaming. And so as you take, you know, I almost see it as like, I see the vision in my head, but I can't remember what it's attached to. But so you see this big old mountainous rock. And as you pull a piece of the rock off, light shoots through it. You pull off another piece of the rock and the light shoots through it. That's kind of what's happening for us. That's kind of what the experience is. And in the beginning, those rock pieces can feel really hard to move and they can feel really stuck. But as you get that first piece and that light breaks through and you are allowing that light and you go to that light, it begins to show you ways to expand that hole that you've created, to expand that expression that you are seeking. So that's how cultivating that uniqueness, that spark, is so important and so powerful. So again, focused into the breath, focused into the moment, and then being in your experience, recognizing the feedback loop, recognizing that your thoughts and your emotions are a feedback loop. You're simply putting it out there, seeking a response. And if you are focused in love, if the response isn't focused in love, then you can't use that. You can't participate with that. It becomes, when I say you can't, I mean, the choice is that, no, I don't want to put that energy back out into the world. That's not what I'm seeking. So then you shift and you say, okay, I did that. It didn't work. I'm going to move over to this frequency, this vibration, this energy. How can I work with this? How can I expand this even more? And so you have the ability, the incredible ability to sift through all of that. And it doesn't have to become a brain drain. It doesn't have to become, you know, a siphon of your energy. This is all in moving forward. It's in celebrating and cultivating the unique spark that is you. So cultivating that spark, as you do the work more consistently, you will find a depth that develops. And you'll also find your ability to observe grows. You become more the observer. And this is really significant because that unique spark, that expression of God that is you, is constantly radiating that experience. And if you think again of the visual that I had of being kind of encased in rock, that's the entrainment of the physical experience. And it's not meant to be negative, but it is meant to show you the contrast of how powerfully the things that we attach to in the physical reality can impact the energy of who we are. Because remember, as we've talked about in different shows and throughout the book, I believe there are two consciousnesses at operation in our experience. The first is the ego. The ego was born with the body. The ego is the consciousness of the body that is there to keep the body on the planet. It's there to use the senses to assess the environment, to make sure that we're safe, to make sure that we're not in imminent danger. And then there is the soul. Then there is the biggest part of ourselves. Well, because we are using our senses more here on the physical planet, we tend to think that this is the be-all end-all. And so over time, as we build these belief systems, and then we begin to encounter the reality of energy and the reality of the world at whatever level you do, because many experience it in the first time in religion. You experience this, there's more feeling. You experience the desire for more. And that spark begins to speak to you through this encasing that you've done over the course of your life. And if that desire is strong enough, it can help punch through that stone so that the light begins to shine through. And then we have to reassess, because the reality that we were in that helped us to break through may not be reality. It just may be a positive spin on something that isn't serving us. And so we begin to question even more. And we question more, and we question more. And the more we question, and the more we expand our desire to understand, the bigger those gaps in the stone become, the more we blow those pieces out of the way. And as we learn to love ourselves more completely, and as we learn to love more deeply, and as we learn to connect to love in every situation, that energy gets stronger and more powerful and more present in our experience. And I want to cycle back, because I want to talk about the observer for just a moment. So we have been trained to believe that our thoughts and our emotions are what's the word that I want? I want to say necessary, but it's not quite the right word, necessary, but that they are the benchmark, or they are the foundation of the experience. And that's true when you are focused in that frequency. That's true when you are focused specifically and solely into the physical environment, into being a physical human. When you pierce through that and begin to expand that awareness, you begin to see that that's actually an illusion, that it has kept you kind of contained. So this magnificence is sort of locked in this stone experience, desiring to break free. But it does not exert will. It exerts influence. It is an influential energy. It is who you are. So it's there all the time. And as you look layer upon layer upon layer of stuff over it, you block out the natural emanation of that. And so as you focus into the soul, when you recognize there is more, when you recognize that there is more to this experience and to who you are, you tap into that soul experience, that capital S self experience. What that does is it stimulates the remembrance and awareness of that in you, but it also starkly shows the encasing that you've put on yourself over time. And so cultivating the observer as a part of this spark of the divine is actually recognizing that the mind and the emotions are simply guidance. They're simply, like we talked about last week, the emotional guidance system. They're guidance. They're ways of letting you know, am I focused into this glorious energy of all that is that I am, this God experience that is me? Or am I focused into the human experience, into the limitations of my experience? And when you become the observer, you notice all of it. And you may feel things, you may be experiencing things, but you observe them. And at the same time you're observing them, you're noticing that you're angry over here, or you're noticing that you're experiencing something over here. And that you observe it from this space. And this space is the space of the soul. That's how I see it. You can call it universal intelligence or whatever it is. But this is you observing the experience of you, small y, capital Y, whatever way you want to do it, capital S self, small s self. As you focus into these experiences of your life, the more you can train now, you've been entrained into one experience, now you have to retrain your energy and your experience to focus in a different place. And that's really about what focusing in the spark of the divine is about. So contemplate this. Be with this idea. Be with this idea of the observer. Tap into that observer space, because that is the space that allows you to experience it all, but still make choices in the direction that you want to go. Meaning, you can still be in the space of the observer and notice all the cacophony and noise of the ego, and still choose to step into the quietness of the soul, to step into the clarity of that. And it's not always easy. It's not always, as we deal with human experiences, as we deal with our relationships, as we deal with work and all of the different things that come up in our life, you're going to have experiences, negative experiences. The trick is not to become the negative experience. The trick is not to allow, not to make everything about you, because it's not. Actually, 99.9% of it has nothing to do with you. Whenever anybody does anything, it rarely has anything to do with us. It has everything to do with their own experience of their spark, their uniqueness, their love, their God. That's their experience that they're reflecting out into the world. And you are pinging it back and sending back just like they ping it for you. So cultivate the uniqueness that is you every day. Look for ways that you can cultivate that love, cultivate that joy, cultivate that observer in you so that you can more powerfully create and more powerfully engage this amazing world that we live in and not be stymied or dumbed down by what we've been entrained to. And every step you take creates exponential change. Every time you break a piece of that rock off, you've inexorably changed the course of your life and the lives of the generations behind you, because you are the leading edge of this process. You are the leading edge. Within your DNA is encoded all of your history and your genealogy, right? All of that energy that you have been carrying. And as you free yourself, you free your generations. It's an extraordinary thing because it's all energy. And so because it's all energy, when it gets locked up, when you release that energy, it isn't unlocked in a bottle. It's unlocked in the universe, and all that's attached to it gets to be free. Is that not amazing? Is that not incredible to you? It's incredible to me. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me. Thank you so much for this amazing talk. Here's a choice book. Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, www.fearisachoicebook.com. You can order the link through the links there, or you can go directly to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or IndieBound and order the book yourself. I thank you so much for being here today. And remember, if you like the show, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, share this with your friends, let people know we're here. YouTube, Adventures in Truth Livecast YouTube station has almost 200 episodes from the very beginning, including all of the moments of truth that come out as well. Facebook, check us out. Here we are, E360 TV. What an amazing platform. Grateful to be here. Grateful that you're here. And I hope you have an incredible day, and I will look forward to seeing you next time on Adventures in Truth. Thanks, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescienceTransformation.com. to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.